Welcome back again, friends. Today, we are going to be talking about spirituality and the eclectic spirituality that I have found myself within. So, hello, my name is Maya. Welcome to the Spirituality in Progress podcast. The reason that this podcast was originally named Spirituality in Progress is because it was a path of exploration, of trial and error, of asking questions and stumbling for the answers. And, you know, when I decided to kind of relaunch this podcast, I thought about changing the name. I was like, maybe Spirituality in Practice, something like that. You know, I'm doing this yoga practice right now, spirituality in practice, something. But I realized that it still is in progress, spirituality, my spirituality and the concept of spirituality that is developing. It's still in progress all the time. I think that's the whole point, is that you're always a seeker on this journey. You're always learning. You're always studying. Sometimes with, you know, maybe more concrete paths. If you choose one path, a religion or a science or a journey of some sort, you have one path, you have a beginning, and you have an ending, whether or not you reach that ending, who's to say, right? But you have a roadmap. Whereas the blanket term of spirituality is basically saying there's no roadmap. You just make it up as you go. You make it up and you resonate with what you resonate with, and you release what doesn't serve you, and you just keep exploring, you keep stumbling, you keep fumbling through concepts, ideas, lineages, things like that. And I think that a stumbling block that many people can find themselves in is creating a religion out of spirituality and making it, you know, a path where there's a right way and a wrong way. And I think that that defeats the purpose, that defeats the freedom of the concept of spirituality versus religion. You don't have to be doing the same spiritual stuff that everybody else is doing. If everybody else is vegan, doing yoga, wearing crystals, that's not what spirituality is. That's what their spirituality is. That's what their spirituality looks like. You don't have to be in the jungle doing ayahuasca and meditating every morning and, you know, having tantric sex to be spiritual. That's somebody else's journey toward spirituality. And a lot of times there's overlap, there's crossover, there's language and evidence to say, you know, this thing works, this path or this tool works, right? Meditation or whatever, it works, sure. But just because it works doesn't mean that it has to work for you. People get really defensive about the right way to be spiritual, the right way to raise your vibe, you know, or to have good energy, or what to eat or what to not eat, or things like that. And it's just more restriction. It's less freedom and more restriction when we do it that way. So if you're on this journey, if you're listening to this podcast because you're interested in spirituality, I'm assuming, I just want to advise that spirituality can be you living your exact same life, but connecting deeper to yourself, to the universe, to nature, to your loved ones. Inevitably, I think most people will start to alter things to become more in alignment with themselves, with their truest self, their truest nature. But what that specifically looks like is going to be different from person to person. I think that the shifts happen because we are usually living so far off path, out of alignment, that things have to start shifting once we look around and we really question stuff. But the way that it shifts is totally up to you. The way that it shifts is totally up to you. And so I think that's stumbling block number one, is the need to conform to a specific recipe, a specific path of spirituality. And then I think stumbling block number two is, you know, maybe a controversial one, but it's the borrowing from, learning from, taking from different cultures, different paths around the world to create an eclectic spirituality that works for you. And for me personally, my spirituality is borrowed and learned from many different paths. There's things from India, there's things from traditional Chinese medicine, there's things from Peru, there's things from Mexico, there's things from the indigenous people of the Americas that I borrow from, right? And I learn from. And a lot of times people, you know, when they're trying to be responsible, when they're trying to be ethical in their spirituality, they can be hesitant about taking on something that is in other cultures. And I understand that. We don't want to take something and bastardize it and claim it as our own and negate the work that has been done for thousands of years by the people who developed it. We don't want to take something and claim it, right? That's, you know, I'm a white person. There is a lineage of taking and claiming and then just disregarding everything else, right? And so I think a lot of people in, you know, the realm of white guilt, which then progresses to, you know, society in general and being very tender and caring about not taking from people, which is a good thing, of course, obviously, that's a beautiful thing, but it can become a hindrance, you know, when there is this fear of embracing something from another culture. And for me, I think that the line, the thing that is important is the honoring that comes with the practice, whatever the practice is, the honoring that comes with the medicine you're using, and the honoring that comes with the concept that you're embodying, the honoring that comes from the scripture that you're reading, the honoring that comes with the magic that you're creating. And I think that that's stumbling block number two, is people not knowing how to navigate. How do I take something that is beautiful and profound and meant to be shared, meant to be experienced by humans, without, you know, dishonoring or appropriating or whatever word you want to use? How do I do that? How do I do yoga in a way that honors, right? How do I do ayahuasca in a way that honors? And figuring that out is a delicate balance. I think that there are missteps that I've taken. There are overly cautious moves that I've taken that were maybe unnecessary. And each new practice, each thing that I do, I do my best to navigate those waters. But I don't think that that's a reason to not do it, right? I don't think that that's a reason to restrict yourself. For me, I view spirituality and all paths that lead to spiritual connection to the self with a capital S, the essential self, the cosmic self, the God self. I view all of those practices as communal, you know, or that information has been passed down and traversed the earth in order to help the most people possible. If everything were to stay exactly where it originated, we would only have pockets of people learning and growing, and they still would be limited because they weren't sharing that information. Right? So the sharing of information is profound and beautiful. And really, I think the only way to move forward is this more global civilization that we're working toward together, that we're sharing together. And we have to share that information with one another. We have to share the practices with one another in order to level up humanity, or whatever you want to call it, right? People are like talking about this whole ascension process. And we can't do that in a bubble. We have to do it together. And a lot of the practices and medicines are not supposed to be kept exactly where they started, but they are supposed to be honored. They are supposed to be understood. When we take too much of a little bit from here and a little bit from there, then we water things down. I think the watering down is where the appropriation happens, is, okay, I'm just going to take this thing, you know, this practice, this concept. I'm going to just take yoga, for example. That's an easy one, right? I'm going to just take the movement, like a vinyasa flow movement, and I'm going to use that in my life, and I'm going to call myself spiritual, and I'm going to, that will make me ascend. That will make me spiritually valid. That will make me the spiritual person that I want to be. I'm not saying there's not benefit in an asana practice, in a yoga practice for the body, but when you just take that only, exclusively, you really water down the full spectrum of everything that yoga is and yoga was taught to be, right? The asana, the movement, the posture is only one relatively small preparatory activity in order to get to the other parts of yoga. So when we just take one thing, it waters it down, right? And then it dishonors all of the information that comes before it and after it, all of the work that went into discovering this mechanism, right? Or, you know, if you go and you do an ayahuasca ceremony in a warehouse in your city somewhere, and like some guy that you met invited you and you just want to experience some trippy night, you know, I'm not saying you won't get benefit from it. You can be getting benefit from it, but it's not the full expression. It's not the full breadth and depth of what it's supposed to be. So it's a watered down version. So it's a disservice to you, and it's a disservice to the evolution of that medicine. And so that goes for everything. That goes, you know, even for like witchcraft and paganism and things like that. If you just do a love spell one day because you're wanting to find a partner, and you burn a pink candle and you write down the things you want about your partner and you put it under the candle and you're like, okay, there we go, now I have it. It waters down the understanding in magic of how to connect with your energy, how to call in the timeline of your future self into you now. It waters down the understanding of the elements and of honoring nature and of working with the cycles of the earth and of the cosmos. And you lose out on all of those things. I'm not saying you won't get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You still might. But you miss out on all the extra stuff. So this is not to discourage by any means any of the practices that you have. If they are still the beginning practices, right? Like just the yoga without anything else. Super beautiful place to start. And don't be afraid of diving deeper, even if you have this fear that, you know, all the other stuff is just for somebody born in India or in a lineage passed down. That's not true. You just have to put yourself in a place where you're now part of that lineage in the full expression and honoring of it. So, you know, don't try to be too strict. These kind of they go opposite against each other a little bit, but there's nuance in it. Don't be too strict with what spirituality looks like, but also don't be too shallow in it, right? Be open to creating an eclectic spirituality for yourself that fits for you and who you are and maybe has nothing to do with what another person's spirituality looks like. And at the same time, don't stop at the first thing you learn about. If it sparks your interest and you resonate with it, go deeper. There is always deeper to go. So nonconformity, but deep exploration. That's, I think, the path that really ignites the soul, ignites the spirit, ignites the mind to keep going with this path. When it's too shallow or it's fearful of misstepping, it can quickly fade, right? The interest in it can quickly fade because you never get to the juicy stuff, really juicy stuff that lies beneath all of the different practices, all of the different ideas, all the different worlds and realms that we live in. So that's the thing I wanted to say today. That's the piece that I wanted to share is how to formulate your spiritual journey. So as this podcast continues, as you listen to more episodes of this, keep those two things in mind. You know, am I talking about things that you agree with or not? Take it or leave it. Whatever I'm sharing, take it or leave it. Does my path seem too shallow, too deep? Do you want to explore more of what I'm talking about? If something sparks your interest and you're like, huh, okay, interesting. Like sound healing, what is that? I don't know. Let's explore it a little more. And then you can go and you can explore sound healing and crystal bowls. And then you can go into, you know, the quantum and the field and the energetic goo that we live in. And you can dive into the science of it, right? Or if you're like, oh, wow, she's doing this yoga thing. That's cool. She's moving her body. What else is she doing? What are the yoga sutras? What is up with chanting and mantra? What's up with meditation, right? Those kinds of things. So use these things that I'll be talking about that will be shared in this podcast as invitations to your own path and invitations to a deeper path. I hope that that was helpful for you. And I'll leave it there for today. Please share this, subscribe, like it, rate it, whatever the kids are doing these days. And follow me over on Instagram if you'd like to, Maya Rain. You can also go to my website, mayarain.com. If you want to work with me as a therapist, as a spiritual coach, any of the above, or just send me an email, say hi. I also have meditations and things like that available on my website as well. So, enjoy, and I will catch you in the next one. Bye.